Gavlik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews in it.
Boy, oh boy, wow, wee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Hello and welcome to the Super Footy Podcast. I'm joined today by Mark McGowan, our trade and recruiting expert, mate. Mark, how are you, mate? How are you travelling in trade week so far?
Yeah, I think we're surviving. That's probably what everyone's saying. We're giving our phones a fair work over, but yeah, we're almost there. Tomorrow night is the deadline, so we'll see how many deals get done.
This time here, when we were talking last week, there were a couple of deals done, but weren't too many in this 10-day trade period. What are the most significant, you reckon, so far? Obviously, the Chera one's massive, isn't it, in a sense, from Carlton's perspective?
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, going into the trade period, I think there's still a lot of talk about it maybe being a bit of a lackluster sort of exchange period, but the two biggest prizes were probably Adam Chera and Jordan Dawson. And as we know, the Dawson one is still being played out, but Adam Chera is a really nice addition for Carlton. And they got it done early as well, which is what I liked about it. There wasn't any sort of going back and forth, haggling, let's stretch this out to Wednesday night. We knew the pick six had to be involved from a Carlton perspective to get this deal done. That was made clear from a long way out. They did that, added another future pick on top as a bit of a sweetener. Fremantle got the job done. Carlton did. It just improves the Blues midfield. They needed to do it. We all know it's a little bit suspect and it has been a bit too much reliance on Sam Walsh and Patrick Cripps. And it's going to be interesting to see how they use him. Does he get used on the wing a little bit? Do they want him to be just an inside mid? He's just a classy addition. He's going to be good however they use him.
Yeah, it's a fascinating... That Carlton midfield's going to be fascinating, I think, going forward, isn't it? When, you know, obviously Williams is trying hard to try... I know he's training really hard at the moment already, back in Indoor, and trying to, get that fitness tank up. It is going to be fascinating to see what happens with that Blues midfield. And I'm sure Patrick Cripps, at the end of this, is going to be really happy to have some extra faces in there.
I mean, that's the thing as well. He could be a virtual recruit too, Cripps. I mean,
absolutely.
We all know what he's like at his absolute best. We haven't seen that now for a couple of years. So his body's been pretty battered, but he's going to be buoyed by this. He's got some really nice support around him now. The club have big goals next year. They get away to a good start next year. Look out. They want to play finals. We know they've got talent on that list, but they just haven't realised that potential. I think all fans of the Carlton Footy Club are sick of being... close, but no cigar. They've got to start turning those narrow results into wins.
Yeah, well, the president's already said they've got to play finals next year. That's no pressure, Vossi, as well. But you make a really good point. Why don't clubs, this is what drives me nuts about trade period, why don't clubs get on and make some decisions early and get these trades done early? I think it was really good the way that Fremantle and Carlton were able to get this deal done. I think Collingwood, from the outset, this time last year, I think people were trying to get their pitchforks and whatever else down to the Holden Centre to tear the place down. But Collingwood's done a pretty good job, I think, in this trade period and, you know, in guaranteeing that they'll get Nick Dacos, but also picking up a few extra along the way as well.
Oh, look, Graham Wright is an elite football operator. There's no doubt about that. It's probably just reaffirmed that for us. We know everything that Wrighty managed at the Hawthorn Footy Club over a very, very long period. And he's just come in at Collingwood under some duress with the salary cap hangover, as he's touched on himself. And he's just got the deals done that he needed to get done. They brought in Nathan Kruger. That fills a bit of a hole up forward. They got Lipinski, just adds a bit of freshness to that midfield. And also, obviously, brought in the points required for Nick Dacos. And he's making a cheeky play for Bobby Hill as well. So he's not done yet.
Do you really think that Bobby Hill is an option there at Collingwood? I know there's a bit of interest there. They've still got a little bit of currency there somewhere, haven't they, to get it done?
Look, I actually just wrote on this topic, and it might be up on the website now, but the challenge here is they do have enough draft points as it stands. And the Giants haven't specifically come out and publicly said they need a second-round pick for Bobby Hill. At this stage, they're saying it's highly unlikely. We're probably not going to trade him. But if they do, it's purportedly around that second-round pick. And if you look at what Collingwood has, they've already offloaded that future second-round pick. And so the natural picks that come in then are Collingwood's 27 and 36. If they were to offload either of those to bring Hill in, they suddenly dip below what's required to match a bid for Dacos, which we suspect will come at either pick 2 or pick 3. So that just adds a little bit of intrigue there. Yes, they're showing some interest, but how do they get it done?
Yeah, I think he's the – Bobby Hill is exactly the sort of person that – you know, the sort of player that Collingwood, I think, need. I think it would fill a great need there as well. There's no doubt about that. They've been fascinating to watch, Collingwood. You know, the good news at the moment, it looks like North will use that number one pick on Jason Horne-Francis. That's another bonus for Collingwood in a sense.
Oh, that's a massive win. And the Giants' national recruiting manager, Adrian Caruso, was on record a few months ago as saying, if Darcy and if Dacos are both on the table and the Giants still have the number two pick in the draft, they're leaning towards likely bidding on Sam Darcy first rather than Dacos. Darcy, as we know, is the key position man. So he fits more of a needs basis for the Giants. They don't need another gun midfielder. Yes, Dacos is a star. We know about that. But they need talls more than mids. So if it comes down to it on a needs basis, they're more likely to do that at two, which means Dacos slips to three, which suddenly means Collingwood does not need anywhere near as many draft points to match.
Don't get me excited, mate. You're getting me a little bit, being a Magpie supporter there, getting a little bit excited about that as well. So with the three players, we've obviously every draft you look and you've got, you know, high end elite talent. If you had to take a pick yourself, would it be Jason that you would pick from what your knowledge is at the moment, or is it just too difficult given that in a sense Dacos really has barely played footy for 2 years? It's a really awkward scenario, isn't it?
Well, this is the interesting thing. I mean, I went a couple of weekends ago now and sort of went around to all the recruiters, the men who make these decisions, to see what they would do. Because in some ways, yeah, it's great what I think, but I thought I'm going to go to the experts, see what they think. And look, I think Jason Horne-Francis is in front as far as what the clubs think, but I don't think it's this gulf that some people try to make out. And a lot of it is partly because, as you said yourself, Dacos just hasn't played much footy. So he hasn't had the chance to play the national championships. He hasn't been able to play against senior opposition, just like Horne-Francis has. But one of the recruiters I spoke to said, if he had the chance to play for South Adelaide or in the SANFL or in the VFL, whatever it is, he thinks that Dacos is very capable of doing exactly the same sort of stuff that he's doing. And if you look at that, the limited chances we've seen him against senior opposition with the AFL Academy against the Geelong VFL side, Dacos was certainly up to the task and on that occasion was a better performer than Horne-Francis. So I think either way, you can't really go wrong.
Just on a couple of the other trades that have come and gone since we've last spoken about, Callum Coleman-Jones obviously to North Melbourne. They got that deal done and Tarrant obviously goes to Richmond. Is that another significant one? And where do you see North as being a player in this sort of trade period?
Yeah, look, I think it is a significant one because it really fills a desperate need for the Roos, I think. They needed to have someone they felt confident in who could be Todd Goldstein's ruck successor. Now, it remains to be seen if Callum Coleman-Jones is that player, but they've taken a bet on him. They've given him a four-year deal. They've effectively rated him in that trade as a second-round pick. He was drafted at number 20, so he's basically retained that value from his draft year, which is going back about 4 years now. And he showed some real promise this year, whether he was clunking marks up forward, kicked four goals in a game against the Crows. And he was playing it depended on who was number one man. It could have been Nan Curvis, whoever it was.
Playing
deputy. He showed up he could do that. Whether he can be the number one man, that's still to be proven. But he fits an exact need for the Roos, and I really like that move. And as we know as well in that deal, Robbie Tarrant heads over to the Tigers to fill the David Asprey role down back.
Yeah, which is a loss for North Melbourne. I think if you're a North supporter, you'd be really buoyant and excited. And I know that they are so excited with their number one pick. Like, they don't come along very often with the opportunity to get a generational type player. And, North sort of in that position, in that window. So, Mark, we're going to take a break and I'm just going to come back and I want to ask you what a contract is actually worth these days. It's a fascinating debate, isn't it? We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. Mark, I'm fascinated by contracts and what they actually mean and what they're worth these days. I'm not sure they're worth the paper that they're written on at the moment, but how do you see it at the moment with the way things are and whether clubs should be able to keep hold of players in terms of contract or whether players can actually say, I don't want to go, I'm staying, as you broke the story the other night on Chad Wingard and now he doesn't want to go?
Look, it's an interesting dilemma. We know that if you're contracted, you can still get to the club you want to. I mean, that's mean, quite clearly evidenced over several years. And if you look at the players that are still in play to be traded this year, most of them are under contract. But what I'm really fascinated by on the flip side is that a guy like Jordan Dawson, who is uncontracted, yeah. Yes, he's not a free agent, we understand that, but he is uncontracted, yet Swans are still expecting a huge result out of that. On the flip side, if a player's contracted, a club says, well, he's contracted, so he's worth more. So you can't probably have it both ways. And as we know, the AFL's very keen to increase the mechanisms for players to get to the club of their choice. That's why free agency came in. But for me, it's become a really interesting dilemma because you've got examples like a Bobby Hill. On compassionate reasons, he wants to get out of there, but he is contracted for next year. He's saying, look, I want to get back to Victoria, but I'd like to play for Essendon. They turn around and say, well, hang on, you want to go to Victoria, why don't you pick everyone? Well, again, all players nominate a club. This isn't new.
No.
We just continually discuss this, but clubs do that. And players do that, and the clubs do it too. So, look, I think it's an interesting topic. It comes up every year, but I mean, look, ultimately, contracts aren't worth much.
They're not, are they? And Scott Pendlebury said it a few years ago, probably 2 or 3 years ago, and we all sort of said, oh, I don't really like that. But he was spot on, and he was probably, you know, it goes back 3, 4, 5 years now. It means nothing, a contract, really. You can be moved on in a lot of ways. And I'm just fascinated with Hawthorn. They've got a lot of those, you know, big name players on reasonably good coin who are all contracted. And there's been a, you know, depending on who you believe, an attempt to, you know, to try and move some of these players on, which is understandable, I think, in market with the way their list structure actually is. But there haven't been really any takers other than GWS and Wingard at one stage.
No, I think that's been the only one. And Chad is insistent. He is not going anywhere. He's twice posted on Instagram, putting up the Wolf of Wall Street scene, the famous one, I'm not leaving. He's made that very clear. He's enjoying that as well. But the facts are, Hawthorn was willing to do it. They were having a discussion with GWS. That happened. There's no denying that. They were very keen on that. The Hawks are very much in a rebuilding stage, and they were one of the clubs that put their hand up to say, we'd love to bring Bobby Hill in if we can. And part of that discussion was around, well, if that deal happens, and yes, we know he went for Essendon, but we could potentially give you Chad Wingard. If I'm the Giants, I'm jumping at that. And you know, they think they're in the premiership window. So it's an interesting one that, as you said, time's running out, but there's no one that's really jumping up saying, we're going to give you a bunch of first-round picks for any of sort of Mitchell, O'Meara, any of these guys. So they may have to just take them into next year.
It is fascinating, though, when you look, because Sam Mitchell clearly wants to go to the draft. We know that Hawthorn haven't historically done that in recent years. The last couple, they've done okay with a couple of high-end ones, but he's desperate to move up that sort of, you know, I can sort of see what they're trying to do and understand it. But unfortunately, they've just picked the wrong year when clubs are less willing, I think, to, you know, to be involved in a sense as well with the tight salary caps. It's just unfortunate. Do you think any of these guys will end up going? I know the Giants, they were pretty confident that they could get this done. I know I did some radio yesterday with Jimmy Bartel, and he was all over that this is a serious chance. And obviously then it just fell apart. Will it happen? Will any of these happen?
Look, it's looking highly unlikely at this stage. The Port Adelaide mention with Jager O'Meara, my understanding is there's nothing in that, and that was never going to eventuate to anything. So it's just, yes, clubs might be taking a nibble, but is anyone going to give anything that's worth Hawthorn actually making this call? Yes, they're talking about saying, look, we'll pay some of the contract as well to sweeten the deal, but you don't want to be giving up first-round picks for 28-year-olds. You know, if you're in the window, maybe like a Carlton or someone, but Carlton doesn't have the salary cap space to be bringing in someone like Tom Mitchell. Yes, he'd be great there. You know, I'd love to bring in all Australians to every club, but it's just not as simple as that. You've got to factor in the bigger picture. And so, yes, if they can pay, you know, 90% of his wage, but would you be doing that? I don't know if that's great practice either.
No, it isn't. No, you're spot on. It's going to be a fascinating watch. We'll have a break now and we'll come back and we'll just work out. We're getting closer to that trade deadline and work out who's going to go through and who won't. Back in a moment. Welcome back to the Super Footy Podcast. I'm here with Mark McGowan. Mark, the one that we've talked about a little bit earlier was Jordan Dawson. We're going to see that. Surely that goes through. It's got a bit of 729 about it, I reckon, hasn't it, on Wednesday night? But surely it just gets done sooner rather than later.
This is where it's an interesting one. We see clubs sometimes make a stance and say, no, I'm going to take the high moral ground here. But in some ways, if you're a Swans fan, And yes, we take the high moral ground. We have the respect. We have our morals. But Jordan Dawson, who's just finished very highly in the best and fairest at your club, he's had a breakout year. If he gets walked to the preseason draft and you've effectively lost him for nothing, I wouldn't be happy with that. The high moral ground doesn't deliver wins next year. And if I'm them and there's a future first round pick, yes, it's Melbourne's, and we understand that that could be, you know, not until pick 18 next year. It could be better than that, potentially the Demons fall. But you take it, don't you? You can still get a really good kid in at that pick. So you'd hope they end up seeing sense here. And if they get a couple of late futures or late picks, whatever it is on top of that as a sweetener, great. But ideally, that's still a top 20 pick, and that's still pretty valuable.
Yeah, if you're a supporter as well, you don't want to lose him for nothing, do you? You've got to get something out of it. You've got to get some reward. And the AFL, this may be one that goes to the wire. I mean, we know the AFL, what they do is, you know, the theatrics of tomorrow night. They'll have to be on Wednesday night. There has to be a pick, a trade very late. I think it's part of their deal with all the media organisations.
We all love it. We all love it.
We love it, don't we? We do love it. Pete Laddams is the one that's interesting to me. You know, in the sense that the Swans, they're obviously dealing with the Dawson scenario, but heavily into Pete Laddams from Port Adelaide. You know, they're going to have to probably give up more than a pick 31, do you think?
They absolutely will. As we know, Port Adelaide came out super early and they said, if he wants to go elsewhere, we want a first round pick. Now, it may not be quite that high, but they've made it very clear 31 will not get it done. Another option that's been discussed is a first-round pick slide. So, as we know, the Swans have pick 12 at this stage. Port Adelaide has pick 16. So, potentially, they could switch picks there. But that still wouldn't be enough to appease Port Adelaide. They might want 31 on top of that as well.
Yeah.
So, whatever it is, it might be, if it starts at pick 31, there'll have to be extra picks on top of that. But there's a bit to play out there. But potentially, the Dawson deal gets done before Laddams. I think those two will be combined in some way.
Yeah, exactly. And as I say, that one could go down to the wire. Jordan Clark, we know, all of a sudden, you know, it's still waiting. We thought this would be done nice and early, but it's not. We're still waiting on that. What's your feeling on what's going to happen there? And, you know, you'd think it would go through. Mind you, the Cats have shown us before that they're prepared to hold people to contracts to get what they want.
Tim Kelly. It's Tim Kelly absolutely. All over again. It involves Western Australian player as well. For sure. So, again, really interesting one when we talk about a player who's contracted. They don't want to be there. This is the second straight year, effectively, that Jordan Clark has said, I want to go home. I'm not getting enough opportunities. Do you want a guy there that doesn't really want to be there?
I don't.
Yeah, I think it's a good call from you. I don't think you do. Like, you want guys who are absolutely in it, and not only in it for that year, they're in it for the long term. If I'm the Cats, I'm thinking, well, we know what happened with Tim Kelly last time. He waited it out. We kept by him, and yes, he had a good year for us, but he left after that. This might be the highest value they can get for Jordan Clark. We're talking about 19 and 22. Yes, if you're the Cats, you push for the higher pick, but when it really comes down to it, it's three picks. And we're not talking about first to fourth. We're talking about 19 to 22. At that stage of the draft, you're generally starting to see some separation on what clubs, where their ratings are. Clubs rate different players higher than others. There's a very good chance you're getting the same player at 22 as 19. So I'd like to think this one gets done.
Yeah, you would hope so, wouldn't you? Like, you know, he wants to go home. Understandable. He's no superstar, but, you know, maybe with Fremantle, it might, it might start to click a little bit for him there as well, you would imagine, wouldn't you?
He's got some nice attributes. He's quick. Mm. He can take the game on. Look, as we know, the Matthew Scarlett relationship, Scarlett didn't really rate him as a defender, all those sorts of things. So he didn't want him playing off the half-back line, but he's got those capabilities, half-back, wing, half-forward, line breakers. Clubs love speed, and he's got that. And he's a guy taken in the first-round pick who's been talented at other sports as well. He's got ability. He just needs a chance.
Absolutely. The one we talked about before, Bobby Hill, if you had to take a pick now, would you say that he would go, that they'll somehow work out some sort of deal late? I know it's a difficult one. There's still plenty to play out.
Normally I have a decent read on what happens. This one, I'm perplexed as to what happens here, because the Giants have made it very clear that if they were to offload Bobby Hill, they want a small forward back.
Absolutely.
Whether that's from the club he heads to or whether it's a third party. I'm struggling to see who that is. Collingwood has a guy like Josh Thomas out of contract.
I was thinking Josh Thomas.
He's an unrestricted free agent, though.
Yeah,
why
true.
Would they have to,
why would you get involved?
They can sign him as whatever they want.
Absolutely. Yeah, so it's a strange one, isn't it? It's, and you're right, Jimmy Bartel was suggesting, like, and it's a fair point, but Toby Green's going to miss 6 weeks of the season. So that's a large chunk of the season. You know, they hoped they were going to be able to get Chad Wingard in, who could play a sort of role down there. You lose Hill all of a sudden. It's a real area of weakness for the club. And if they think they're in the premiership window, they've got to probably stand firm on this, don't they?
Well, they started the year slowly this year. And as we know, yes, they rattled home and snuck into the finals. But that's not how you want to be doing it. You know, it's extra stress. It means you can't rest players towards the end of the year. It places coaches under pressure. Everyone's under pressure. You don't want to start a season slowly. So that's why the Toby Green situation is, you know, it's placed a lot of pressure on the club, and he's let them down in a lot of ways. So I completely understand that. That scenario has been discussed with me as well, that has to be factored in. That's a quarter of a season.
Yep,
that he's out. Is. And he's your best player. So they want to get a player back in. Who that is, again, million-dollar question.
It's going to be tough, isn't it? Now, one fascinating thing through this whole period, even for a few weeks leading it up to it, you know, basically leading up to it, was the ruck merry-go-round.
What I love it, Macca. I love it.
Don't we love it? Never been more excited to see the ruckman going here, there, and everywhere. What's going to be the domino that, you know, that starts this, you know, this quick change of a ruckman to different clubs? Is there going to be one aspect that, because we're still waiting on it, nearly 10 days into this trade period, we're still waiting for it?
We know Max Lynch officially wants to be a Hawk. Okay, so we hoped that would be the very first domino, but the problem is clubs are haggling again. You know, what's worth? I want pick 47. You know, it seems very laughable in a lot of ways, but I understand it. You want the best you can for your club, so I respect that. But at the moment, Darcy Fort, obviously, there's a chance he gets from Geelong to Brisbane. And Segler would go from Hawthorn. John Segler would go from Hawthorn to Geelong and effectively replace Fort as that ruck depth. And the Hawks would chip in a fair bit of money of that as well to help get that done. But still figuring out worth. Brisbane don't want to pay over too much for Fort because they know he's not coming in as the number one man. So, you know, we don't want to give up our draft hand. But you'd imagine this gets done. We're talking about Darcy Fort, John Segler and Max Lynch. Without being disrespectful, they all want to get somewhere, and you'd like to think it gets done. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about the highest of picks here.
No, and I would have said to you probably a month and a half ago that Mason Cox has absolutely no chance of staying at Collingwood, but the departure of Max Lynch and the expected departure of him opens the door up that Collingwood's going to be a little bit short in terms of regard to big men. So that gives Cox an option. He's obviously in the States at the moment. It gives him an option of staying with Collingwood, doesn't it?
He's going to have to go to a bare bones contract, though. That's going to be absolutely the big change for him. He's been on pretty decent money to this point.
He
showed that potential going back to the 2018 grand final, and it's no longer there now. There's no suitors for him. No one else wants Mason Cox. If he's playing AFL footy next year, it's almost certainly going to be in black and white, and he'll be there knowing that he's one of the last players on the list. There's no shying away from it. And Darcy Cameron and Brody Grundy are very much in front of him.
And it's fascinating that 3 years ago, he almost, you know, 2018, it wasn't that long ago that he almost single-handedly beat Richmond in a preliminary final. It's amazing how the wheel of footy turns, isn't it?
Oh, it's fascinating. You look at that. We thought he was about to take over the league, you know, throwing those arms, Inspector Gadget arms into the air and outmarking Alex Rance. And you know what? His grand final wasn't terrible either.
Like, it was good.
A bit slow to get
second
going.
Second half was good. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And he just hasn't gone on with it. Like Wayne Carey used to always say in the commentary, oh, all he needs to do is bring it to ground. Well, yes and no. There comes a point where five touches and one goal, you know, when you're bringing the ball to ground every now and then, it's not cutting it. You need to be better.
It's not enough. It's not enough, is it? Is there one wild card that you think could happen in this, you know, as we run down the clock and the clubs are running down the clock and trying to work out, is there something out of the blue that you think could potentially happen?
Yeah, not sure. I mean, the whole nature of a shock one is one we don't know about, but we all
want
to get it and we're all chasing it as a journo. But, I mean, there's players like, you know, your Jared Branders, your Ben Longs, your Sam Powell Peppers who've sort of been raised and are looking for another home, but nothing's happening at this stage. There's not a great deal of interest in them. I'd like to see Brander land somewhere, but that might end up being as a delisted free agent. But still a bit to play out, but there's always something that pops up late, whether it's an Aiden Bonner
you know, at the last minute, coffee on the morning of deadline day. So something will happen, I'd imagine.
Yeah, the AFL will make sure that happens just towards the end, won't they, for sure? Mark, you've been an absolute star this trade period for the Super Footy and Herald Sun. You've been outstanding. Thanks for joining us again today. And for all your Super Footy needs, make sure you're looking tomorrow night and looking at Mark's copy and everyone else's on superfooty.com.au as the trade period ends. Thanks for joining us today.